Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. We got a great show planned for you. DMs, they'll be popping later in the show. So if you got a DM for us, that means you got a question, something you want answered, something's on your mind, something you want us to talk about, maybe even something you want us to circle back and drop deeper into. Put all those beautiful, lovely questions, ideas, and opinions in our DMs on our Loveline IG page. That's where all that magic goes. We're going to be talking about hookup culture. It's going to be opening up with some stats and then talking about how to survive hookup culture. That's right, mental health intact. Why? Because there's nothing wrong with casual sex. It is part of the normative dating process. Sex isn't bad. What's bad is the way people maybe treat each other or they have false and problematic expectations. But sex is a beautiful, healthy thing for us. So we're going to be opening the first hour just talking about a few stats or whatnot. And then later in the show, we'll be talking about some other ways to kind of survive and conceptualize it. And when I mean survive, I just mean really get through that process with your mental health and emotional health intact. I talk about this on the show often, which is technological advancements and developments, they happen. Some of them have happened through the world of dating and sexuality. And sometimes it's been the inverse, where it's happened in the non-sexual, non-relational world. But of course, sex and relationships find a way to be also further innovated as a result of technological advancements. And I think that's an awesome thing. They kind of feed into each other. We're relational creatures. You know, we're always in relationality, symbolically and literally. Even when we're not with people, when we're literally in solitude, we are still thinking about and connected to. Just because they're not physically present or able to be touched or seen doesn't mean that we're not, again, still thinking about them, considering them, and still very much connected. What does all that mean? Every song's about relationships and sexuality, every movie, every book, you know. Even, as I said, I'm watching a movie that's about someone saving the planet from a, you know, Manhattan-sized asteroid coming to blow us all up. And, of course, love is the center point within all of that. It makes us do some wild, wild, wild things. We did an entire show on what love actually really looks like. So tonight we're talking about, though, sexuality. Front end commentary. There's so many different entry points into different people's lives. And this is just one of those different ways. You know, there's so many articles and stats floating around on this topic. And the first one I want to just call out is that we are not having more partners than we necessarily did in the past, which is shocking to some people because they're like, all of these apps, blah, blah, blah. It's an epidemic. People aren't having relationships anymore. Well, hookups are a form of relationality, 100%. And I want us to see them as such, even if you're not going to exchange numbers, become partners, or spend more time together, we still should be seeing it as relational as it is. Sorry, my mind wandered. I'm thinking about a possible article I was going to maybe reference, but I'm going to come back to that another time. So we're not having more partners than we were in the past, even though a lot of people are panicked about that. What's happening is people are talking more confidently about sexuality. So more people are getting tested. More people are talking confidently about it. So we're hearing more about it. But, you know, one of the stats, I think I shared this on another show related to a different topic, but in some of the work I've done with some of these companies, the stats were showing that most people are not actually meeting or hooking up, that about 70% of the people are just on there looking or chatting or trying, but nothing really happens. And that's a really important stat. Only about 30%, maybe 25 to 30% are actually meeting up and actually having some form of sexuality occur. So it's not as rampant as people think. And even if it was, that wouldn't be a bad thing necessarily. But we want to look at the stats and understand that it's not what we think it is. It's a lot of loneliness. It's a lot of people maybe just wanting to connect and be seen. And I think that that's an important thing to remember, is we often misunderstand what some of our drives are really requiring. Sometimes all we want is intimacy. We're not actually looking for sexuality or eroticism. Sometimes we just want to be touched. Sometimes we just want to feel desirable. Sometimes we want to spend time with someone. Sometimes we want to be seen and looked at and cared for. And we don't always have access to that. Why? Well, because we have such powerful boundaries around platonicness. I do want to live in a world where we can have touch with our friends. I don't agree with what people call emotional cheating often. A lot of people think that you're not allowed to have deep friendships or intimacy or vulnerability with your non-romantic partners, but that is part of friendship. Otherwise, what are you doing? Keeping it super superficial? I also want to be able to cuddle with our friends and hold hands with our friends. I think that would be amazing. We have the highest rate of singledom. People still have needs for touch and intimacy, and we should be able to get that met without sexuality or romance. Platonicness should be able to include cuddling, handholding. I'm all for that. That shouldn't have to necessarily be built into a monogamous primary relationship. There's nothing wrong with that. We have to stop being so threatened by that. The intention does matter. The goal does matter, but we need to normalize some of that. We are a very touch-starved culture. We are very much deprived of those deeper forms of intimacy that engagement affords us. All right, we're going to come back and keep talking about this, so stick around. You're listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Odyssey. We will be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, y'all, we are back and we're talking about hookup culture because it is misunderstood, it is pathologized, it is shamed. People say things like, well, you're not serious about a relationship, you have intimacy issues, you're a sex addict. No, nope, none of the above. It is okay for us to want to just have sexuality in our lives, but maybe we are not looking for a primary partnership, or maybe we already have it and we're looking for creativity and diversity outside of it. There is no such thing as sex addiction. Yes, people have misunderstanding around their sexuality and they have maybe poor impulse control and boundaries and the suffering and pain is real, but the current model is problematic. We've talked about that on another show. But having a lot of time and energy and space and looking for a lot of intimacy does not make you an addict. And wanting sex that doesn't involve all of these toxicities sometimes around relationality and romance and monogamy does not mean that you are phobic of intimacy. In fact, it might be the opposite, that you're just wanting a lot of it, but you don't want that structure which robs the joy of it. I'm not opposed to anything relationally if a healthy adult is making that decision. But understand that the minute some of us, most of us, enter into primary relationality or monogamy, we start letting our anxiety and jealousy make decisions, and we don't run our relationships in a position of looking out for each other and in a position of trying to expand and grow and transform. We often run our relationships from a point of not wanting to ever be made uncomfortable or to ever feel threatened. And it sucks the freaking joy and life out of love and romance. It sucks it right out. We need to allow more freedom. I will always agree that the way we approach our friendships is how we should approach our primary partnerships, letting go and lightening up. Remember, I say this every episode and I will continue to. We should make people's lives better for being brought into them. If us being in someone's life as their partner or anything else makes their life harder or worse, we need to check ourselves and maybe remove ourselves and do some work and some healing. You are not marrying people and dating them and being brought into their life to restrict and limit and to make it harder. And that is why some people don't even want to step into all of that. They don't want that toxic ownership model and jealousy model applied to them. We need to start being better and dating better and running things better so that people aren't afraid of relationality. But back to hookup culture, there's nothing wrong with it. Most people are out there trying to explore and learn and grow. Not everyone has to want relationship. But people are not having as much sex as we think they are. And people on these apps are primarily not actually hooking up. Right now, current generations are having fewer partners than Gen Xers did. And a lot of this is also about fluidity and leading to friendships. What? Sex can lead to love and friendship? Yes, 100%. Because these are different entry points into relationality and being a part of someone's life. And sometimes we figure out on the front end that the physical, sexual, romantic chemistry and compatibility is there. And then we segue into exploring the other levels. You can start wherever you want. You have to explore all of them. There is no right place to start. Remember, I'll say this all the time. A coffee date, you can only learn so much. You don't learn that much, actually. You learn their favorite color, their family history, where they like to travel on vacation. Great. Awesome. But through sexuality, we learn about their body confidence, their traumas, their triggers, communication, boundaries, how much intimacy they want or can tolerate. If we have those physical, emotional, affectional levels of compatibility and chemistry, it's an important thing to explore. People that are serious about primary relationality and commitment and even monogamy will explore that sooner than later because they know that that's an important part of it. Otherwise, you find out on the back end and you might make each other miserable, realizing it isn't what you thought. Because just because you have a lot in common and you really are attracted to each other, enjoy each other, does not mean that you will have romantic or sexual chemistry or compatibility. They are two separate processes, which is why we know that there are people that are romantic versus sexual in their orientation. You have a romantic orientation, which is the gender choice that you like to have romantic relationships with, which is separate from, at times, what you are sexually and erotically oriented towards. We know that those are two different processes that for many people are very aligned, but they can also be separate. Now, here's where it gets really, really clunky. Hookup culture, just like sexuality in general, is very gendered. Those that are penis owners tend to fare far better within hookup culture than other anatomy-based individuals. What does that mean? It means that we know that females or vagina owners that have sex with the same gender tend to have orgasms more frequently and consistently than the opposite when they're with an opposite gendered partner. We will talk about that later. We'll talk about how to fix that. But I want to also call that out, that the impact on different gender expressions within hookup culture is very diverse. Now, when I talk about surviving, what I really mean is the mental health part, meaning not having your expectations wrong, not having yourself disappointed, understanding what's possible. And we're going to really, really break that part down because, again, these shouldn't be things that we enter that harm us. Excuse me. Now, it's also gendered because we used to think and still think that it is people that are male that really are guiding and seeking this, but that is not true. Women are not reluctant participants. The studies are showing that more and more women are interested in casual encounters. Why? Well, because of things like less slut shaming, more female empowerment, body empowerment, sexual empowerment, women earning more and being more rooted in a career, which builds confidence, all sorts of amazing things. So women are propelling hookup culture. And we also know from a lot of the research that women at the more elite universities are actually choosing hookups because they see relationships as too demanding and potentially too distracting from their current professional and educational goals. And they're saying, I want sexuality. I want to feel desirable. I want to have fun. I want to have romance. But right now they're saying, while in school, I'm focusing on my education and my career. And I will figure out relationality after that. But I want to have some fun in the meantime. So women are really leading that charge. And I love seeing that. So women in their sexual prime, as we deem it, in their 20s and 30s, are more successful than a lot of the single men around them. And this is impacting a lot of, you know, reprioritization of goals. It's shifting. Where in the past, it was really presented as a women should only care about and only did about marriage and kids and all of that. And now they have other goals and other dreams and other interests. And they're delaying all of that, if even stepping into that. I like people having more choice and more liberation. Coming up next, though, we're going to keep talking about hookup culture. Later in the show, we'll talk about ways to navigate it better. So stick around. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Odyssey. We'll be right back. All right, y'all, we are back and we're breaking down hookup culture, and we're talking about how it's gendered, how we used to think it was men that were propelling it and men that were centering themselves. Now we're seeing that it's women, and that women from actually the more elite universities are the ones that are primarily choosing hookups because they're focusing on their education and their careers. And they're like, hey, I don't need to be weighed down by all the drama and relationships, which I think is really about the fact that we don't know how to be good partners. And that's why people are kind of turned off by it. So it's not that relationships have to get in the way. Healthy ones would be actually supportive and encouraging, but the way we run them is quite problematic. So a lot of women are saying, look, I'm just going to hook up, get my sexual, you know, affectional needs met. And no longer are we saying that women's only goal in life is marriage and families and a home. Thank God. And women are like, I want a career. Maybe I'll have kids and a family down the road, if even at all. Or maybe I'll just date casually. I mean, we're really expanding on our boundaries. Before, we thought that the only options were single or married. Now we know that you don't have to get married. You can have a kid on your own. You can have a kid with a friend. You can have an open relationship. You can be polyamorous. There's so many different ways of expressing love and relationality. And these ways have always somewhat existed. They're just now more normalized and there's more research behind them. People can work with therapists and better understand all this. But the show isn't about that. We're just kind of talking about a hookup culture. And excuse me, I'm thinking about what I want to say before I get into the discussion about how to survive it. I guess one final kind of comment I do want to make in reference to a lot of the pathologizing that happens with people that are on sex and dating apps and that are, you know, having, you know, multiple partners. There's this idea that they have more STDs and STIs. And it's actually quite the opposite, that a lot of people that are sexually active are more aware of their sexual health and they're getting more tests. And those tests, of course, then are showing maybe higher rates of positives, but that's because more people are getting tested, not because more people are getting STDs and STIs because of hookup culture. So let me say that one more time. The reason why some stats are showing higher rates of STD and STI positives is because more people are finally getting tested and talking about it, not because hookup culture has led to that. It's because more people are actually knowing their status. That's the shift. That's a good thing. And also one more thing to add to that, to those that are knocking the apps as gross or problematic, know that those that are hooking up more on the apps are also hooking up more off of them. Those are just people that are more sexual, and they're more sexual online and offline. So it's not about just the apps. It's just how that person moves through the world. More power to you. If you have the time and energy to have a lot of sex partners, awesome. There's no magic right number. There's no number that if you exceed it, you become a sex addict. Just like with, you know, alcoholism, no one says, how many drinks do you have? Oh, that not enough, not an alcoholic. No, it's the way it impacts you, whether or not it's a problem. So it's not about what you're doing. It's really how you're doing it. And also for those that maybe think, oh, you know, it's a problem. These, you know, relationships that are forming online don't maybe have the strength or stability of those that meet in real time. Well, again, it doesn't matter where you meet a partner. How you meet them or where you meet them doesn't determine the health of the relationship. If you met someone online, or if you met someone during a hookup, or if you met someone during an orgy, none of those things determine the quality or health or sustainability of your relationship. You know what does? The partners in it and how healthy they are. So it doesn't matter how you met your significant other, whether on an app, in a back alley, at the gym, through your mom, at church, or in an orgy, it matters. The health of the people matter. So remember that. Internet dating and hookup culture can be a positive because many people meet through a hookup and realize, I like you. You're pretty cool. The chemistry's there. Let's get coffee. Let's exchange numbers. Let's hang out. It's just a different entry point. So I want to normalize that. There is an increase in socialization around this. Some people have found their husbands or their best friends through that world. So if you're really looking to be out in the world more and you want to learn about yourself and you want to better understand your sexuality and you really do want to find a partner, that might be an access point for you or not. And that is okay as well. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. But I will always say, whatever you determine to be the right way for you and whatever you determine to be the wrong way, at least be psychologically mature enough to ask yourself why and how you came to that choice. Is that born out of empowerment or is that born out of anxiety and shame? Because any decision or boundary you set out of your anxiety and shame and fear isn't a healthy one. You want to make it from a place of, I've looked at all the different options. I've looked at why I might choose those things. And I determine that this is the right reason. This is the right decision for me. And here's why. That has more meaning and value to me. So really process that. Always ask yourself, why am I choosing what I'm choosing? And why am I moving away from what I'm moving away from? Okay. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about, we're going to be doing some DMs and then we're going to come back and we're going to keep talking about hookup culture. And because here's the thing, remember, we're looking at the impact any process we're a part of has on us. And if it doesn't have a positive or enhancing quality or consequence to it, well, then we're kind of making some changes. We're being more mindful. We're looking at why we're making the choices we're making. And sexuality is often something that people really don't dive into as a way to learn about themselves and as a way to look at their mental health and their boundaries and their traumas. But it can be such a healing site for all that. So we're going to come back and talk about that. But again, DMs next. If you got a DM for us, that's a question, a topic, something you want us to hit, circle back to. Drop it in the DMs on our Loveline IG page. Past episodes of the show are over at wearechannelq.com. Scroll down, look for Loveline, and click on it. You can binge, post, reshare, re-listen, all sorts of good stuff. Stick around, though. We'll be back. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Odyssey. Stick around, y'all. All right, y'all, we are back, and now it's time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
This one says, hey, Dr. Chris, I'm in an open relationship, and we've been together for about 4 months. It's going great. They're in the military, so in a few weeks, they're going to be stationed somewhere, and I'll be home. I told them that I plan on dating while they're gone, but they told me that they aren't going to do the same, and that made me feel awkward. Oh, my God, I'm the only one. I almost feel like I'm cheating. Even though it's an open relationship, is that just me? I get it. But relationships aren't supposed to be about fairness or equality or balance. It's supposed to be about what do I need and what do they need? And that's never always going to really be in balance. Your partner is basically saying, I'm cool. I only have the time and energy and interest in focusing on you. And you're saying, thank you. That's awesome. But I actually want to have a diverse set of relational and sexual experiences. And so I'm going to date others. Great. That's what works for you. Just like household chores. Not everyone's interested or a good cook. And so we don't say, well, sorry, it's about fairness and 50-50. So if I'm cooking, you got to cook. No, you say, I'll cook and you do the trash and clean the bathroom. I don't know. It's about equity. Equity, not equality. Equity doesn't mean 50-50 fair is fair. Equity means everyone gets what's right for them. Everyone gets what they need. If you're taller, then you don't need a little booster. You don't need to worry about the person in front of you or the seat you have, right? It's not like, oh, well, sorry, we all get the same things. It's like, well, no, what do you need? And we make those adjustments. Some people need the seat in the car pulled up forward more, and some people need to push back. Like, we all have different needs. Some people like spicy food, some people like less spicy. So it's like, who am I? What do I need? Who you are is someone who wants more sexual and relational diversity. Awesome. Your partner doesn't. Cool. You don't need to be twinsies. You know what I mean? That's the worst way to go about something. If I'm doing it, you have to. If I do, you do. If I eat it, you eat it. No. If you like vegetables, that's what you get for dinner. And if he just wants whatever, then that's what he gets. Just because he has ice cream for dessert doesn't mean you have to. Just because he likes to go see horror movies doesn't mean you have to go. Be cool if he did as a partner, but if not, he'll go with his friends. Equity, what do we need and what's right for us as individuals? Some people, believe it or not, one person's monogamous and the other person isn't because that's right and honest for them. And they say, I don't want to be with others. And the other person says, but I do. Great. Then we each do what's right for us. I go to the gym. You don't like the gym, so you don't have to. I like getting up early. You don't, so you sleep in. Like, we apply that to pretty much everything, but somehow we get real thrown off around like sex and dating. No, apply that across the board. It's about equity. What do you need and what's right for you? And that is what you go after. And own that. You can say to your partner, you know, it made me feel bad that you're not doing that, but I realize that it doesn't matter. And that if you wanted to, you will. And I do, and I will. And that it's okay if we're not always doing the same thing. That would be a very bizarre expectation. We're different people and we have different needs. And I'm glad that we're healthy enough to allow each of us to do what's right for us. Thank you for loving me. That's the answer. That's where you should land. So embody that. But sure, you're allowed to share your feelings. I like transparency and vulnerability in relationships, but don't make it a problem because it isn't. Your partner is like, cool. It's all about just informed consent and transparency and letting each partner know what they can expect of the other. So this is actually a good sign. I wouldn't want your partner forcing themselves to date because you feel as though you need to. You know, I want people to go after what they need and what's best for them. So be where you are. I mean, that's what a healthy relationship's about. Each partner trusting the other to make the right decisions for themselves. But true trust is also trusting or believing that they'll make the right decision for their partner in the relationship in addition to themselves, and that they'll keep all those pieces in consideration. That's trust. I don't have to worry about you. I don't have to go through your phone. I don't have to know where you always are because I know that you're looking out for yourself, but at the same time, you're looking out for me in the relationship. And if you don't feel that way about your partner, you have a bigger problem. You're with someone you don't trust, and you got to work on that, either learning to trust or leaving them because they're not worthy of trust. But in a healthy relationship, that's how it goes. 100%. We don't police. We don't track. We don't attack. We don't set arbitrary rules on them. Adults don't put rules on adults. They basically have boundaries. If you look out for me in the relationship, I'll be here as long as you do that. And when you stop doing that, we'll talk it out and we'll see where we go. All right, y'all, that is our DM. If you got a DM for us, helping yourself out while you're helping others out, pop that question into the DMs on our Loveline IG page or topics you maybe want me to hit or drop deeper into. We love a good circle back. Sometimes I drop things quickly and people are like, well, wait a minute, I wish you had said more. Let us know in the DMs on our Loveline IG page. We're always here to hear you. And then past episodes of the show, you can go back and re-listen, take me on a drive with you, hiking, at the gym, whatever. That's over at wearechannelq.com. Scroll down, look for Loveline and click on it. You can binge, post, re-listen, and share. Stick around, though. We got more to come. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Odyssey. All right, we're back, and we're talking about how to survive in hookup culture. It's a natural, necessary part of life. Why? Well, remember, we do have sexual, relational, developmental milestones to go through. Sexuality is not natural. People are like, oh, sex is natural. No, it's not. It is so culturally created and socially created. What we consider sex, what we don't consider sex, how we feel about it, what we do, what we don't do. It's tied to our gender and our class and our race and what's normal, what's not. There's nothing normal about it. Like I've said on the show before, most of us are not actually even having authentic sexuality because we are afraid of being seen as a sex addict or being seen as a slut, or because we're a mom, we won't do certain things. And because we're a hetero or a man, we won't do certain things. And all of these levels of shame and whatnot get in the way. And so we do want to go through developmental milestones. Sex is something we learn about through practice. There's nothing wrong with that. The more sex you have, the more confident you will be in your sexual body, with your sexuality, with others. And that's why, you know, when we're younger, we have our genital prime, which is when our genitals are going to do their best for procreation. Who cares about that unless you're trying to have a baby? But the rest of us who aren't or don't or whatever, we're worrying about our sexual prime, not our genital prime, our sexual prime, which should increase as we age because we get more familiar with who we are, what we want, how to ask for things. So that's an important part of it. Now, remember, we always want to do everything ethically. So part of surviving hookup culture is looking at how things impact us and also how they impact our sexual partners. And so we do want to take that into consideration. And that's part of that survival piece is how do I feel about what I'm participating in? And that's when we bring in Dr. D's favorite before, during, and after. How do I feel before? How do I feel during? And how do I feel after? The sex act, sex with that partner, and in general. When I'm on my way over or when I'm imagining them coming over, checking in on how I feel. During, is this what I want? Does this feel good? Do I need to stop? Do I need to ask for something to be different? And then how do I feel afterwards? Is it that I have to work through my own sex shame? Is it something that came up because of my partner choice or because of the kind of sex we're having or what we're having? Those are what you want to check in as part of that, because thriving in hookup culture is about not letting this negatively impact you, not having sex or sex with partners that shame you, make you feel bad, make you not feel desirable. In fact, it should be the opposite. We should be asking for what we want, practicing asking for what we want, practicing saying no, practicing saying I've changed my mind, practicing saying I've always wanted to try. That's the beautiful part of this. So really lean into that. That's a really, really important part of surviving hookup culture, is really considering the mental health aspect of it. Making sure it's ethical, but again, making sure it has a positive impact on us. And if not, it might be what you're doing, it might be who you're doing it with, or it might be your own frame of reference that you're applying. Are you shaming yourself? Are you listening to messages from family members and friends saying that it's not okay to have sex outside of a healthy relationship? You can have You're allowed to have anonymous sex. You're allowed to have non-relational sex. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. That is not what the problem is. The problem is when we're doing things we're not comfortable doing, when we're allowing our boundaries to be pushed, when we're not checking in with ourselves. The best time to have sex is when you feel like you want to have sex. And that's part of thriving in hookup culture, is understanding what's possible, not having sex because you think you're going to date that person or fall in love. In fact, hookup culture is about being freed from the confines of that. So that's why one of the more important things is always going to be, drumroll, checking in on your intentions. Why are you doing this? And really making sure that it's a valid reason. Why are you choosing the partners you're choosing? Why are you choosing the kind of sex you want to have? What is your goal? Is your goal to learn and grow? Is your goal diversity and creativity? Is your goal relationship? It doesn't promise anything. It could. It often does maybe lead to more a friendship, a continued friends with benefits, you know, relationship, maybe some romance after, but it doesn't promise those things. And I say that to everyone who's going to have sex for the first time. Congratulations. It's your sexual debut. I don't use the word virginity. It's pathologized. It's stigmatized. It's your sexual debut. You're finally entering the sexual realm. Congratulations. Welcome. Stay in it. But you don't enter it or have sex for the first time because you think it'll be forever or you think it'll be for love, because that's rarely the case. Most people will have multiple sex partners throughout the duration of their life. That's a good thing. More experience, more pleasure, more fun, more boundaries, more communication. There's nothing wrong with that. But get your intentions in check. Understand why. Then another part of thriving is being willing and confident talking about sexual health and wellness practices. You are not mature enough or ready to have sex if you're not able to ask another person, when's the last time you're tested for STDs or STIs? Is there anything I need to be aware of? And also able to talk about all the different sexual protective mechanisms. So do your research, understand what's possible, understand what's out there. Understand what PrEP is, understand what condoms are, understand which ones are more effective and for what. But again, more importantly, know what you need, but also make sure you're able to ask these other partners. And if you're actively participating in hookup culture, you should be getting an STD test, depending on how active you are, at least every 6 months. But it really depends on how many partners you're having and what kind of safer sex practices you're employing and bringing in. All of that's an important part of it. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about ways to thrive in hookup culture, because it doesn't have to be something that leaves us feeling worse off, more lonely, more depressed. It should be something that brings joy, is enhancing, makes us feel better about ourselves, makes us have more hope, more desirability. And they'll be closing out with some DMs. So if you got a DM for us, drop in the DMs on our Loveline at GPH. Questions, topics, things you want us to hit, things you want us to cover, and past episodes of the show. Always over at wearechannelq.com. Scroll down, look for Loveline, and click on it. You can binge, post, re-listen, and share. Lots of good stuff over there. And check out maybe some of the other shows while you're there. But stick around. We'll be back. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Odyssey. We'll be back. Right, y'all, we are back and talking about how to survive in hookup culture. What? I know it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to make us feel better about ourselves, our bodies, our sexuality, sex with others, not negative. Check in on that. What do you need to change? The way you're going about it, the expectations you have, the people, the things you're doing, all that matters. Also, know your STD, STI status. You have to be getting tested. And also, you have to be willing to ask others, when's the last time you got tested? What were the results? And you have to understand sexual health and wellness practices. What kind of protective mechanisms are you taking? Are they taking? It's adult conversations. You have to be able to talk about these things. The next thing we have to consider is people's feelings, ours and others. We are not doing this to harm others. People are in our care when we're socializing with them, relating to them, having sex with them. I don't care if it's a one-time fling. I don't care if it's a hookup. I don't care if it's with, you know, as I always say, in a back alley, you can't see their face. You don't need to know their name. You'll never see them again. You still have to have care and respect. You do want to make sure you're not negatively impacting anyone. And that's why it's always about consent and compassion. But in hookup culture, sometimes we let ourselves off the hook ethically by saying it's a friends with benefits, or it's a hookup, or it's a trick, or it's just an app, don't take it seriously, or it's just a fling. Oh my God, we are impacted. We do move forward in the world feeling better or worse off about ourselves. Same thing for the partner, whether we realize it or not. It reinforces or it undoes a message we might have about the safety of others, how we feel about sex, how we feel about our bodies. All of it matters. And that's why I'm telling you, be thoughtful about the impact it's having, but also care about your partners. It doesn't mean you're going to marry them or be in a relationship with them, but you can still check in and offer care. That's an important part of it. Knowing, and that means knowing boundaries, your boundaries and their boundaries. And if someone seems like they're not doing well or not really feeling in the moment, check in on them. Maybe you've crossed a boundary. Maybe they allowed a boundary to be crossed. So ask them about that. It's okay to say, how's this feeling? Are you enjoying yourself? That's also what a good sex partner does anyway. How does that feel? What's on your mind? What are you thinking about? What do you want me to do? We ask these questions. It's a really, 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 really important part of it is reminding yourself that there's another human being there. Because a lot of times what can happen in hookup culture is some people enter it really from a one down position, in a position of people pleasing, where they're letting the other person run it based on what they want. And maybe that's your thing. Maybe you're submissive and you're all about, hey, whatever's hot for you is what I want. But maybe you're not, and someone's wanting something that you're not down for, interested in. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say some of that, but I need to make some changes, because your pleasure matters too. In fact, it's your responsibility to ask for what you want and to focus on your pleasure and to make requests. Hey, more of that, less of that, do that more, do that harder. That is on you. And so make sure you are vocalizing, speaking up, vocalizing, saying yes, saying no. All of that is really, really, really important. And so that's why part of thriving in hookup culture is being able to set boundaries. But first, you have to know what your boundaries might be, which is why sex is a developmental process. You're learning where your work is. You're learning what's hard for you. You're learning what's easy for you. You're learning how to actually speak in these terms. This is some part of us that's never mirrored otherwise. And yet we're somehow supposed to be able to manage and navigate it confidently, but yet we never get a chance to practice. And then if we are, because we're out there dating and hooking up and learning about ourselves, learning about sex, sometimes we then get slut shamed, where people are like, oh, she's loose, she's easy. No, she's confident and she's exploring and she's figuring out and she's learning and she's going through developmental milestones. Let's stop shaming people for having more sex than we're comfortable with. Because remember, when you call someone slutty, you're actually talking about yourself. What you're really saying is, I'm uncomfortable with the amount of sex that this person's having. And instead of dealing with my discomfort and maybe just keeping my mouth closed, I'm trying to project it onto them and shame them. I want them to stop having that kind of sex because I'm uncomfortable and I don't know how to regulate myself or be more sex positive. So I'm going to put a pathological label on what they're doing. No, we're not doing that anymore. We're not doing that to ourselves. As long as you're having ethical sex, that is in service of what you want, you're not harming yourself, you are asking the questions you need to ask, and it's centered in pleasure and fun, all is well. Some people have a higher sex drive. Some people have more free time. Some people have more energy, but there's nothing wrong with that. Is there a darker side to it? Yeah, and that's what today's topic is about. Don't have sex to make someone happy. Don't have sex so as to not lose a relationship. Don't have sex to be popular. Don't have sex to be liked. Don't have sex because you don't know what else to offer someone. None of that is mental health centered. Have sex because you are aware of what's happening, because you know what you want, because you want fun and pleasure, because you want to connect and a level of intimacy with this person. Those are the more viable, rational reasons, but we're not slut shaming. Because practice is where we learn. This is how we better understand who we are within these contexts. And this isn't something that we're innately born with, which is why people that are all about abstinence only and waiting until sex, until marriage, those people tend to have higher rates of STDs, STIs, teen pregnancy, assaults, because they don't know how to set boundaries. They don't know how to communicate in these terms. They don't know what forms of protection are available. They don't have the confidence to get tested or ask someone when they were. There's an elementariness and a naivety because they haven't gone through the developmental milestones of relationality and sexuality, which is a learned process. And like we talk about all the time, sex ed doesn't train you that. All they say is don't get pregnant, don't get sick, here's how you protect yourself. And it's like, well, what about asking for what feels good? What about sexual communication? What about identifying where in our body we want to be touched or not touched? That's all practice. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about how to survive in hookup culture, which is really just about better sex education. It's really about sexual empowerment. It's really about sex positivity. It's really about using sex to grow and enhance ourselves as opposed to the opposite. Because we live in a culture that's very phobic, very negative, always shaming it. And we tend to see it as only acceptable when in a committed relationship, which is how the bulk of us are actually not doing it. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not what's happening generally in our culture. So stick around for that, and then we'll be closing out with some DMs. So if you got a DM for us, drop it in the DMs on our Loveline IG page. Questions, topics, things you want us to circle back to. Past episodes, always over at wearechannelq.com. Scroll down, look for Loveline, and click on it. You can binge, post, reshare, and listen. Lots of great stuff, because there's a lot for us to unlearn, but then we got to relearn. We got to undo and then relearn, unlearn to relearn. Repetition is really important for that, practice as well. So anyway, stick around, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Odyssey. We'll be right back. All right, y'all, we are back and we're just finishing up our discussion on ways to thrive in hookup culture. Why? Because it's not hookup culture that's a problem. It's the way we enter it. It's our intentions. We might go in there expecting more than it offers. It's just about really learning about ourselves, exploring our sexuality. Maybe you're not ready for a relationship. Maybe you just came out of one. Maybe you are open to one and you're open to things going further, but really just know what you're looking for and know what's possible. And that's where the boundaries part come in. But also I want to remind people about this aftercare piece. You know, some clients I work with after anonymous sex or hookups or hookup culture, they sometimes feel a little empty or depressed afterwards. And that can be because it's a very intimate experience and very connected. And then a lot of people after orgasm, they bounce. It's okay to say, hey, I'm open to this, that, and the other thing. I also would love some aftercare. Can we talk a little bit afterwards? Can we have a cup of coffee? Can we go for a walk? It's not saying I want to marry you or be your partner, but it's a really odd transition in and an odd transition out. And I think it does a disservice where it's like, door open, come on in, you hook up and then they leave. Yeah. That's going to be a hard transition out of that relational intimate moment. And I think we need to honor and move our way in slower, move our way out slower. I think it's okay to ask for aftercare, some form of connection afterwards. It doesn't have to be ongoing. But I think that that's an important part of it. And I also want to remind everyone, as I keep holding us accountable to the way we impact ourselves and others, that we're moving into a beautiful time of more creativity and diversity around sexual orientation and sexual expression and gender. And so make no assumptions about people's bodies. We do want to ask questions. What are they interested in? What are the words they use for their different body parts? With people being non-binary and people being trans, we can't make assumptions about the kind of sex they'll want or even, again, the terms they'll use for their anatomy. So we have to ask those questions. What pronouns do they use? What body parts do they like engage? What are the words they use for their body parts? What might be potential triggers? We want to know that. We want to offer that, but we also want to be asking people that, along with their sexual health practices and STI and STD status. We want to also understand that some people's gender expression might be, they might have a penis, but not refer to it as such. They might have a vagina, but not refer to it as such. Some people prefer to call their vagina the front hole versus the back hole. Some people don't use the word clitoris or penis. They have other terms or they're interchangeable. So we do want to ask that. And also remember that we want to have a sense of care. That's what that is about. I think it's also important to not expect people to have certain safer sex practices. I want that to be discussed ahead of time, but you never know. So maybe you want to roll in with your own lube, your own condoms, things like that. I also think it's important in today's culture with technology that you maybe let someone know where you're going. I think it can be unsafe to just show up at a stranger's house or have a stranger come over. I also offer that as a protective mechanism for clients of mine that are sex workers or friends that are sex workers. Have that friend that will know why you're texting them and won't ask any questions or shame you. And you can send them whatever information you have, the address you're going to. Maybe you can drop your PIN. You can maybe have a location service. You can send a name or a photo, whatever you have, saying this is where I'm going. Letting someone know where you are. And then finally, I would say we want to make sure we're checking in with our intuition. If something doesn't feel good or feel right, practice being able to say no, or I'm going to leave now, or let's call it a night, or that isn't something that feels good. And then that ties into the idea of being thoughtful about your drug and alcohol use. It's very easy for us to not be able to honor our own boundaries or the boundaries of someone else if we're heavily intoxicated, especially if we have anxiety or shame about stepping into the hookup. So we want to make sure we're focusing on pleasure. It's supposed to be fun for them and for us. So keep checking in on that. But if you're getting too intoxicated, call it a night. I would advise not necessarily involving a lot of that, but that can be in there. But again, we're not there trying to make someone happier to please someone. This is about us as well. So we want to keep checking in with ourselves. I want us to come out of these kinds of dynamics feeling good and intact, not more harm. So know what your limits are, know what your triggers are, know what you're in there looking for, know what it is you don't want, and be prepared to ask for that. Everyone enters sex and relationships with a different history and a different set of knowledge and a different level of comfort and confidence and familiarity. And so we're kind of learning about ourselves, but we're also learning about other people. And then a final thing I would just throw in there is we never know how we're going to feel upon arrival. And so it's okay to say what we're talking about sounds good, but I wanted to see what the chemistry is and let chemistry dictate and be willing to disappoint or let someone down. If upon arrival, you realize this isn't what I wanted, this isn't what I thought, or what I thought I might be interested has shifted or changed. That in fact is part of healthy sexuality, co-creating it with someone based on how you feel that day. There should always be a little bit of shift in us based on our relationship to ourselves, our mood, what else is going on. So just allow for that, be open to that. And that's that. That's how we thrive. You know, drop in the DMs some thoughts about that. I'd love to know what y'all think. But coming up next, we're going to be DMing. So if you've got a question for us, topic you want us to hit, something you want us to drop deeper into, put it in the DMs on our Loveline IG page. Love hearing from y'all. And past episodes of the show are always over at wearechannelq.com. Scroll down, look for Loveline, and click on it. You can binge, post, re-listen, and share. Lots of good stuff because it's all about the repetition and the practice. Like I always say, a lot to unlearn. Got to learn some new norms, values, and perspectives. So don't go anywhere, though. We'll be back, and we're going to drop in those DMs, helping you as we're helping other people. So don't just be a taker. You know, if you're a loyal listener, put some of your own questions in there. All right, y'all, stick around. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Odyssey. We'll be right back, so don't go anywhere.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, y'all. We are back. Now it's time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
DMs come from our Loveline IG page. Drop them in. This one says, hey, Dr. Chris and Loveline, my partner and I are raising two adopted sons together. I love every second of it. Lately, one of our sons has been throwing tantrums over little things, 9 times out of 10. To get him to stop, I just have to give him my phone with games and he'll relax. 9 times out of 10, that's how that works. How great for you. There's a lot of parents out there being like, damn it, I wish I could just hand my kid the phone and he'd knock it off. Back to your question, you said, my partner always gets mad at me when I do this. Why? They say I'm actually not disciplining them, that I'm rewarding his bad behavior. I don't know what to do to get him to stop. Well, I don't believe in discipline. Because discipline usually is violence or punishment. And punishment actually just trains children to be afraid of us. They don't learn lessons. Same thing with your animal. If you scream at them or spray them with water, they're operating then from fear. And that's not the way to run anything. they don't put all the pieces necessarily together. And also, you don't want to train your child to think that when something's happening you don't like, that we harm people, because that's what you're training them. Because they're doing something you don't like and you're harming them. And remember, when your child's dysregulated, you need to regulate first to regulate them. And if we're just punishing and screaming and harming and yelling, we're dysregulated. And we're demonstrating how hard it is to regulate, because we ourselves can't even do it. But yet we want this little nugget kid who's learning and learns from us to be better and further along than we are. That's why if a kid has a meltdown and then I see the parent freaking out, I'm like, well, that's why the kid has meltdowns, because you don't even know how to calm yourself down and you're 30, 40 or 50 years old and they're supposed to learn from you. Look at what you're teaching them. When I'm uncomfortable or upset with what's happening, meltdown. Well, that's what they're doing. Regulate yourself. Show them how to regulate. Show them. So as a parent and an adult, we have to stay regulated. We have to be regulated when our child most needs us. Children throw tantrums because they don't know how else to communicate their needs. They don't know how to deal with their emotions. So calm the hell down, connect with them, soothe them first, and say to them, what is it you need? Oh, you're upset about something? This is how you handle that. You tell me you're upset and we talk about a solution. You model it for them. You walk them through it. Disciplining is old school. We don't do that anymore. Especially if discipline means spanking, shaming, sending into the corner, taking something away. No, we don't do it like that anymore. So regulate yourself first. And your method's kind of like that in-between method. But at least it might calm them down enough to have a conversation as to what happened. But the issue is that you're not regulated. The issue is they don't know how to regulate. The issue is they don't know how to express their needs, and you have to help them understand how to do that. We have to be further along than the kids. All right, we have time for one more if it's really quick. Here we go. Here's a quick one. As a 52-year-old man, dear Loveline and Dr. Chris, as a 52-year-old gay man, I'm having trouble understanding why we need so many labels. Oh, I like that one. I appreciate some people that are kind of new to the LGBTQIA+. Well, here's why. Because labels make us feel real. Labels help us connect to others like us. Labels help us explain ourselves to others. Labels help us find resources. And labels are honest. There are more than just gay and straight people. So it's just honest. That's why, because that is what exists. It'd be like saying, can't we just call everything a fruit or a vegetable? No, that'd be very strange. Because if I say, go get me a fruit, how do I explain what it is I need? How do I explain what I'm looking for at the supermarket? I have to say apple, orange, banana, kiwi, because they are differences within the label of vegetable or fruit. It'd be very bizarre to just say, I'm gay. I've learned nothing about you. Maybe you're bisexual. Maybe you're pan. Maybe you're fluid. We talk about gender. Maybe you're trans. Maybe you're non-binary. Those things exist. They deserve care, support, and respect. They deserve to be able to communicate themselves, to feel real, to take form, to find resources, to get laws that support them. So that's what all of that is about. Recognition and respect. Having laws that protect you, things like that. And because that's what we have in the world, such beautiful, creative, diverse forms of sexual orientation, identity, and gender. And I can't wait to find more and more and more letters. Yes, there's always ones added every day. You don't have to understand them all, because even the ones I do understand, when I encounter it to someone, I say, tell me what that means to you. If a client comes into my office and says I'm asexual, I say, tell me what that means to you, to make sure I understand who they are and what their definition is. So don't be afraid of that. See the beauty of it, because that is what we have. And that's what we've always had. It's just now people feel confident and safe enough to really identify and be themselves. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. All right, y'all, that is our show. We'll be back. Join us. Go to wearechannelq.com if you want to check out past episodes. Take care of yourselves. Lots of love. Lots of self-care. Thanks for hanging out, y'all. And you enjoy the rest of your night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.